It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
CKUT radio offices have the one and only, the beautiful, the talented, and the dear friend of mine. Guest today, Miss Mimi Virus. Mimi, made some fucking noise.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. Oh, thank you, Miss Chris, for having me.
Of course. I have to point out that Mimi is sitting across from me with a beautiful lavender hair on you. You're giving me all types of fantasy right now. I love it. Aww, especially outside. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, I have to point it out. Listen, let's get into some things, because first of all, I want, for the people that don't know, today we're going to be talking about, well, basically a few days ago was it Visibility Day?
Yes.
For the ones that don't know.
Trans Day Visibility,
indeed. And then I thought, because I was struggling to find basically, like I told you, a topic for this week's episode, I was like, I have so many ideas that I mentioned kind of, you know, over the air over the weeks, but I felt like I wasn't ready to bring on those ideas just yet. And then I was like, kidding, what can I talk about? You know, I just don't want to come here and just talk about anything. Believe it or not, there's some kind of work that goes behind. And then I thought, you know what, it's fucking Visibility Day, so I was like, let's talk about that, because the people need to know. If you want to talk about visibility, I'm gonna have the one of the most visible bitches on earth. And that's the one and only Miss Virus.
I'm invisible.
Listen,
I don't know.
Age 24. It's a lifestyle.
We're viewable to the human eye. We are both very viewable to the human eye.
We are indeed.
It is a fact.
It is a damn fact. And it's something that, because, you know, you often see all these posts that, because what I like about Visibility Day, it's a day, especially on social media, where trans people, they just get to, you know, I wouldn't say flaunt, but just reinstate and almost rebirth their identity as, and this is who I am. This is what are my pronouns. This is what I want to look like. And they just be posting threads and photo dumps and everything. And I love that. But something that really, it made me think of is whenever you talk to people that are maybe early on in their journey in terms of queer identity and their transness or just transition whatsoever or whatever. When you talk to these people, they're always telling you, they're often telling you, and you can relate to that, I'm sure. Oh, you know, I never see people like us. I never see people like me. You know, you're someone that I relate to, that I can look up to.
Yeah, we were talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about that. And it is my firm belief, and I'm saying this right here, right now, because I'm saying this to say that. It is my belief that visibility starts with yourself. You can't complain about not seeing other people like you outside if yourself is not outside.
Yeah. You need to trailblaze for yourself.
You need to trailblaze for yourself.
You just need to, like, none of us saw people like us growing up doing what we're doing, you know? And I think, like, life in an organic way, like, everybody is different.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do wish to have some kind of, see somebody similar to us at least succeeding. But, like, you know what? At the end of the day, you just have to do you, and like, and then you'll be, you know, it's unfortunate. Like, I wish we had role models, but, you know, the next generation will have us, and then, you know, the next generation will have, you know, there's people who come in the future that will,
I think about all the time, know,
be those, those role models.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because like we talked about earlier, you just mentioned role models, because it was so funny when we think about the, because first of all, it can feel sometimes that the whole non-binaryness as a term or as a life or as an identity is kind of new. It can feel like that, because when you look at the kind of queerness that we used to have on TV or in the media, we definitely saw trans women and trans, no, actually, I never saw a trans man on TV. That's one thing. Trans men were very late, other than Cher's son, Chaz. other than jazz. I mean, yeah. I couldn't tell you're a trans man from a certain time.
Yeah.
Trans women were definitely more in the forefront, not for the right reasons, sadly. But we definitely saw trans girls on TV, like Laverne Cox, for example, or I forgot her name, but the girl that was playing Candy and Dirty Rich, you know, the Latina Carmen. Let me look her up. I'll look her up and find her.
Yeah,
that tall Latina trans woman. Let me look her up. But yeah, so we grew up with these women. And as much as these women were definitely, especially for Laverne and that actress I'm just mentioning, they were both women of color. My thing with them and that we talked about is that they were still living and portraying a very heteronormative kind of transness.
Very heteronormative, very like cis normative, in a, or just very binary, and and also just like very like classic life past, or like very like, you know, like just very like they have to blend in society, like which is a lot of realities for people, but I think now it's like it's become so much like we've moved past that so much. I mean, in terms of like that being the only way of living,
truly open this little seltzer on the side. There we go. And by the way, the actress was Candace Cane. I was right.
That's Candace Cane.
Candace Cane, okay, but with actual like Candace with a C. And Cane with a C also.
Oh,
that's a mood.
CC.
CC indeed. But yes, Chanel. Miss Chanel, right, the double C's. But exactly. So those trans women, even though they were in the media, they paved the way. Because one thing about these girls is, and I also feel like, for example, you know, she's not a trans woman, but RuPaul. RuPaul is a prime example, because we often forget that RuPaul, at her beginning, was aligned more with what we would call non-binary nowadays. The RuPaul that we know from, you know, Drag Race with the pageant and Beautiful and Viva Glam, that was later on RuPaul. That was like polished RuPaul, years in the industry RuPaul.
Yeah.
And she, it's, go ahead.
No, yeah, she used to be like DIY punk girl. Yeah, exactly. In like a,
In a very gender fuck kind of way. And it saddens me, not saddens me, because you know, it's life and that's the way thing goes, but my thing about it is that we don't get to see, because that's the thing about being visible, especially being a non-binary person. Like I always joke and say, you know, this is a binary world and I'm a non-binary girl. Shout out to Miss Madonna.
Yes.
That's the way life is, and that's why I don't, I simply can't, you know, put myself to standards of what you see and media, because that's just never going to work for me. And my thing is that I always tell people, especially, is that, like we said earlier, visibility start with yourself. But more than starting with yourself, it's to be visible, you have to be visible to yourself, as in you have to see yourself. And you have to know exactly who you are. Because what my what I've come to feel is that a lot of younger queers, a lot of just queer people in general, not even younger, just queer people in general that are in different path or just different spaces in their journey, a lot of them, they don't get to be visible because they just don't know who they are yet. And I'm saying this, and mostly because visibility is about being visible, therefore it's about the appearance.
Anyway,
you know? And these people just don't know who they are. They don't know what they like. They don't know how they really want to present themselves. Because we are all sold this idea that we have to aim for the, to be cis passing. We have to aim to be fish. That's the last part. But I'm like, one thing that I, it always killed me, because, you know, one thing about me, you can't say that I'm fish, but you can't say that I'm ugly. You know, it's just a fact. You can't call me ugly. Ain't nobody never call me ugly.
I mean, you're fish.
I'm fish to a certain extent, but I know that.
Fish, but like, you know, non-binary fish.
Non-binary,
you know?
Thank you, exactly. Like, non-binary fish. And my thing is,
different types of fish. Different types of, I love
different types of fish in the sea. Exactly.
You know, there's
all of it. Shrimp, tilapia, brisket. Is it brisket beef?
Brisket. Red lobster biscuits.
Yes.
Love those.
This kind of fish.
Yeah.
But on fully and
I mean, I've like, even for me, I mean, I mostly identify like, I guess I'm still she, they, but I'm mostly she. Definitely like, you know, identify as a trans woman, but I'm also like, feel like just me in general, I'm very much, I don't know, like I feel like an alien or some kind of creature, you know? And I think that, like, is where, like, I have a slight, maybe it's non-binary, I don't know, but, like, some kind of thing with that, but then also just, like, being she and, like, but even with that, like, those standards that people put on us and that we put on ourselves.
Of course.
And each other, the of what trans people are supposed to be, it's so, like, how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to transition, like, all of that, it's so toxic, you know? There should be different stages and different levels that are, you know, different options for people, whatever they want, you know?
Because a transition and just identity, once again, it's exactly, because there's so many standards and there's so many almost rules, like unwritten rules, or just things that as trans people we feel like it's the right way to do so. You know, you're not going to do this before doing that, or you have to look at this way, like you said, all these I forgot the terms, but just all these restrictions that we put on ourselves. It kills me because, for example, both of us were both we both fit in the both pronouns she there, therefore non-binary femmes, even though you're more aligned in the transitional aspect of the transition, kind of. Like, I'm still very much non-binary and everything. And the way I appear with the facial hair and stuff like that. But what really saddens me is that I feel like we tend to lose the idea of we are outside of the binary. So why are we still trying to conform to the binary? I'm like,
literally,
we are living outside of it. There's a none in front of it. There is a non-binary. And that annoys me because I'm just like, I feel like more people need to understand that the secret is of being non-binary is that I believe it's just the easy, in a way, being non-binary should be the easiest way of expressing yourself because there's no rules. There's no precedent. There's no idea. There's no gender roles for being non-binary. It hasn't been a thing that has been implemented in society for long enough yet for it to become a thing. So I'm like, when I see non-binary people, trans people, not even trans non-binary people, but just trans people force themselves into certain restrictions, force themselves into, because I understand also the need to pass for safety reasons. And that is fully understandable and that is fully valid. Not everybody can afford to live in, you know, quote unquote, nice, progressive and cute, let's say, neighborhoods. Some girls are still out in the hood. Some girls are still out in, you know, countries that are just, it doesn't go down like that.
Yeah.
And that's a different life set. But just like we were talking about on the way here with DL Man. Because, you know, I had, let's,
oh my God.
You know what? If we're going to talk about visibility, let's talk about visibility for everybody.
Visibility for everybody, for the DL Man included.
The DL Man included. Because, you know, I had this, I told you, I'm going to give you guys a little backstory. So basically, I was telling me earlier about this little, vocal tussle, not even vocal tussle, word tussle.
Oh, yeah.
Word tussle with a friend of mine recently.
Your friend.
With a friend of mine about DL Man. And my thing is, we live in Canada. No. A DL Man.
Montreal. And the city.
The
you
city.
Know.
We live in Montreal, the city in North
One
America.
One of the most progressive places Canada, at least.
Exactly.
And Canada, you know, among the world.
Among the world. Definitely among the world. Aren't these good? Those little seltzers.
They are.
Orange vanilla. Thank you, Rian.
Yeah.
They're quite nice. But basically, just to make a point about identity, my thing is, if we're lucky enough to live in a city, to live in a society where we can, to a certain extent, because there's still some violence here, we cannot act as if the girls are not getting, you know, assaulted or harassed sometimes. It happens. But we're lucky enough to live in a place where you can actually come out and look skanky. You can actually come out and rock a colorful wig.
Yeah.
You can actually come out and literally wear the clothes that are fully at the opposite of the gender you've been assigned to.
Yeah.
In the most daring and in your face kind of way.
We, honey, we are here in Montreal. We literally, do it. We do live it. We are out in our looks.
Out and about.
Out and about. Almost every weekend now with the clubs open.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know.
I know you've seen us. I know you've seen the girls.
Yes. Seen us out there, you know. And we are, like you said, we're visible. And it is really like.
Because you have to want to be visible.
You have to want to be visible. Yeah. And I think, you know, there is. I think a lot of what people. Yeah. When I was when it was that day, Trans Day of Visibility, like, so many people were talking about, you know, we're visible, but is it helping us type of thing?
Yeah.
Like, the discourse of, like, what does this day mean? Is it helping us? You know, I think it's beautiful, but also, like, obviously corporations have, you know, kind of hijacked it a bit. But, like, I think, you know, since that Laverne Cox cover, do you remember the Time magazine
cover? Yeah.
And
we all thought we were all going to be living in a better world, and everybody was going to get free this, free that.
Transgender and... tipping point. It was like, no more transphobia. None.
Literally. And I remember that day vividly. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, now it's like there's so many places in the US even, and in Canada, like, I just feel like there's so many politicians and movements now of, like, anti-trans bills and anti-trans sentiment, and, like,
trans is,
I mean,
so
it was
fashion
there before, obviously, but it's like,
because now being trans is trending.
Yeah, so it's like,
everybody, you know, we can talk about that kind of visibility also afterwards. Now everybody's
everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Exactly.
But it's like, we're trans is trending, and then transphobia is trending,
of course, because we're in their faces, so now people are more vocal about it. It's so true, and thank you for bringing that up, because it is so true. Just for example, how with the whole Will Smith situation, right, this YouTuber that I watch, she was saying that so many comedians now are afraid. All the comedians are saying that they're scared of people just walking on stage and slap them, which goes to think, are you that good of a comedian? You know, you're not supposed to make people upset if you're a comedian. You're supposed to be leaving your show laughing, not upset. So, you know, she was saying how all these comedians are scared, and she mentioned Dave Chappelle. She was like, Dave Chappelle is one of the comedians that need to be scared, because the trans community is one step away from coming at that stage and slapping at his next show. And I believe so, because I would be the one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here for that.
Yeah. He's been doing a lot.
He's been doing a lot and talking a lot about the girls. And that goes to, you know, that you can only but, you know, wonder, why is it so much of an issue that a certain group of people are visible?
Yeah. Why does it matter? Like, see, this is another thing is like, I feel like this is never talked about. Yeah. Like, transness is in nature.
Yeah.
Being gay is in nature.
Yeah.
All these things are in nature. So it's like, humans being trans is not unnatural. It's it's actually very natural and a part of, like, there's so many different animals and like trees and things that can be trans, like trees can be trans, you know, like, we should be able to be trans too, like
100% 100% No, it's so true, because it's like,
yeah,
they don't understand that also humans are made to like, the human body, the human mind, we just fluctuate. That's another thing. My the problem I have with the rhetoric of trans people shouldn't be a thing and everything, I'm like, you would not expect a child to remain with the same mindset and the same beliefs and the same self-identifying traits for the rest of its life. You would expect that child to at some point grow up and to something outside of what the parents are molding that child to be. So if you're telling me that the parents have molded a child into a gender that was put on the child, the child never gave a yes, never gave a, you know, it's not like those little girls, little girls and little boys, when they get to grow up, they're like, oh yes, I'm so glad to be a girl, I'm so happy I was a girl.
They're just, they're just in it,
they're just in it, because that's, like, what they're being told. And so it kills me, because people have this people still believe that transness is confusion, but I do believe that transness is the utmost clarity. I do believe that being trans, being non-binary, is the utmost clarity, because despite of it all, despite of what people are telling you, despite of what the world wants you to believe, you know for yourself. You know, because a lot of cis people, I always say that, a lot of cis people, a lot of straight people, they would benefit a lot for simply getting to know themselves.
They would. They would. A lot of them don't.
They simply don't. You only know yourself from the perspective of what society tells you should be as a woman. You only know yourself from what women tell you should be as a man.
It's yeah, I feel like because we, you know, as trans people, it's like the vast majority of us, like, families aren't like, you know, your family isn't letting you like transition when you're young. I mean, now there is, but like, you know, for most of us who are this age, like, yeah, and like, we had to carve out so, you know, we had to make such an effort to carve out our own path of what is good for us and what is needed for us, regardless of, you know, what our parents think and all this. And like, you know, like that's a part of being visible, is like, even if people like it or if they don't like it, like,
it comes, you know, with it.
Doing it. Yeah. It's, and yeah, it's yeah, it's very much a process and like a journey, and you know, you really do get to know yourself throughout it. So it's like, straight people don't have that. So it's like, you know, some of them, they might gain life experience in other ways, but it's like, you know, a lot of them don't.
They really do. No, it's 100% true. And it also, because you just mentioned consequences that come with being visible, because that's another thing. I also want people to understand that as much as I'm preaching being visible, and we're preaching being, you know, self-aware and knowing exactly who you are and presenting that that face to the world, you also have to be aware and be understanding that it comes with consequences.
Yeah.
And that's why with a lot of, because, you know, we talk about DL men as men that love trans women and men that love the girls in general. But there's also, technically, there's also a DL trans woman.
Yeah.
This is no secret that a lot of these DL men are actually, you know, they don't want to admit it to themselves that they're trans women. They identify, they want to be women. And my thing is because I feel like these men, they're understanding of the consequences, which saddens me, because I'm like, the consequences, yes, and maybe it's just because both of us were people of color, so the concept of society giving you consequences is nothing too far-fetched for us anyway. So it's not like we decided to just leave this life of privilege.
Yeah, you know, it was. Yeah,
we were still people of color before being queer people as a whole. But with a lot of these with these men, they know those consequences, and I'm like, you'd rather live a life where you're constantly going to be unhappy, where you're constantly going to have to suppress, and just, I cannot stress enough the word unhappy.
Living with that sadness.
Living with that sadness and that lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Of not knowing who you truly are, because you'll never give yourself the path and the leeway to do it. You'd rather leave your life as such than just stepping up for yourself and you know, live through the consequences. Because once again, the consequences, yes, there's plenty of consequences with being trans. I wouldn't be on the radio if there wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, what would I be talking about? There's plenty of consequences in being trans. But I also believe that there's plenty more consequences in being miserable.
It's so true. Honestly, like, I feel like, I don't know about you, but, like, if I think about, like, going to what my life was like before, I mean, it would be just so, like,
unreal.
Like, and that's the thing also, like, you really said it when you said we know ourselves. It's like, I know, you know, we know ourselves to not be that, those people that our parents want us to be, or that society wants us to be, you know, we, you know, that archetype is just not us. And yeah, it needs to be broken.
It needs to be fully broken. But you know what I'm thinking also? Because that's something I almost forgot I wanted to touch upon. But before you do so, I just want to remind people that you can always call us at 514-448-4013, or shoot me an email at askmisschris@ckut.ca. But yeah, no, I wanted to touch upon that before we get on this little break. So basically, I took you as a guest because, like I said, we're both, you and I are some of the most visible people that I know. And the sense that we just, there's nobody that look like us, really.
Yeah.
You can't say that there's 20 Miss Chris or 60 Miss Mimi's. So you can't say that. That's a lie. So, you know, I wanted to touch upon that with you. But it's because I know when it comes to my, the way I present and just the whole, I like to call it the universe. Je parle moi, I'm losing my words, but like the whole world, like the image when it comes to your image and stuff, the universe behind your image,
your like fantasy world,
exactly.
You're
thank
like,
you,
yeah,
exactly.
Your whole vibe,
your whole vibe. Where does yours come from? Because I know where mine come from. Where does yours come from?
My fantasy world. Yeah. Well, what does it come from? I mean, I guess it comes from many things. Mm. Stylistically,
yeah.
Yeah, I would say it comes from like when I was really young, I watched a lot of like, we had like satellite cable that was like all the American channels, and they had a bunch of like music videos playing all the time. So I would see like different stuff like, he's canceled now, Marilyn Manson, but he,
I mean,
anyway.
I feel you. I have a canceled favorite. You know,
yeah,
I get it.
You know, there. Anyway, it's you know, in you my mind, it's like R.I.P. He's
yeah,
like,
and also I feel the same way about Brigitte Bardot because you know, a big influence on me. But we are influenced by the artistry, and it's not like we're giving these people money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like we cannot deny that they've been big influences on us. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. So continue.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, like the Dope Show music video that he had, and he was like an alien with like titty, like nippleless titties.
Yes, I think I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was walking, and it was so fierce. And then,
how old were you when you saw that? How old were you?
Like, I don't, maybe like 7, 8, something like that. And
I
then
love
like,
that.
And I would watch, all kinds of music videos from like the early 2000s, mid 2000s, like, and Britney Spears, I loved, like her blackout era was everything. And I was like 10, 9 bopping to that shit. I was like watching it every day in my living room. But yeah, so I think like a lot of, early 2000s fashion and like goth industrial influences play a big role. And then like honestly it's constantly shifting slightly, but you know right now I'm really into like this idea of kind of a soft but very like sad nature-esque almost post-apocalyptic energy of like
a dark quiet forest, a quiet forest, almost,
dark quiet forest, a lot of black, a lot of furs, cream tones and like pale like grays and greens and lavenders, like kind of like a, I don't know, like apocalyptic, like I said, but like kind of slutty also, but then like goth and
I feel like
but girly.
I'm fully seeing it because I know you as a person.
Yeah.
But I also want people to see it for themselves. So give them your Instagram so people can know exactly what's going on. See your Instagram though.
Yes. My Instagram is at Mimi Virus Official. And yeah, you can see all my shenanigans there. You can catch up with me and see what I'm doing and
get into the madness. Now listen, talking about the madness, we're gonna play the first track of your EP, Tranimalia Liberation, Plastic Surgery, coming back after the break.
Sure.
plastic surgery. Give me plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery. Plastic surgery.
Welcome back, everyone. Up and once again, 514-448-4013.
Yes.
Call up. Tell us something good. We'll tell you something better.
Call in.
Miss Mimi has all the answers, and I think I have the rest of them.
Yes. Between so, us.
Between the two of us. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back on this visibility topic. So yeah, so we talked about earlier before the break, we were, which I'm so glad that you gave people a little context or just a backstory, because I always say, and I've always told you, visually, I love your visual universe. There it is. That's the word. Visual universe.
Visual, that's the term I love. Word.
Thank you.
Visual universe.
That's the term I love. So I love your visual universe, because it's just, it, I don't know, as a little, just a little girl, and because personally, when I would think of what really, I would say what formed me as a person visually right now, there's so many different things, but the thing that I feel like we can both relate upon are fairy tales. I was big on fairy tales, and there's something so like fairy tale, like almost evil witch or like dying princess, or just there's something to your world that I love.
Thank you.
I don't know, it's very I feel like you see where it's coming from also.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I like yours too.
Thank you, baby.
And yours is very yeah, I see the like fairy tale in yours or fantasy, like
definitely
princess.
I was obsessed with the princess as a child. I remember, I mean, my favorite princess till this day is still and that might sound controversial, but you know, sorry, Miss Tiana, but my favorite princess is Sleeping Beauty.
Oh,
Sleeping Beauty, because I love a good blonde, and I love a pink dress.
Yeah,
but also what's the other one? Snow White, but Snow not even White. For the dress. Snow White just had the sickening. She had the sickening songs.
Yeah, she had good songs.
Snow White had good songs,
and she was like emo kind of.
She kind of was.
She gave like an emo vibe. Like
that's true. Actually, the makeup.
She had the black hair.
Uh huh. The makeup was kind of emo. This pal kind of face.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of true. But no, visibility and the visual universes and such. It's just so funny because, and me and the girls are, me and Tarek were talking about this recently, how we both feel like, you know, it's time that, because you and I, we talked about sex symbols in the past, how I personally feel that we are never going to have the great sex symbols that we had, like Marilyn, like Brigitte, Elizabeth Taylor, Sophia Loren. We're never going to have these girls ever again with such magnitude, because those women were breaking boundaries. It was at a time in the 50s, the 60s, and before that, in old Hollywood and neo Hollywood, is that there were still some boundaries to break.
Yeah, they were full on breaking those things.
Yeah, especially for a woman at the time. But my thing now is that I personally, and me and Tarek agreed with that, and I feel like you'll agree 100%, when it comes to cis people, there's only so much breaking boundaries they can do now. I mean, sorry, woman. Cis woman, Madonna has done it. Madonna, I feel like Madonna has done it all. Beyonce has done a lot. Nicki has done quite much.
Gaga
has done a lot. Britney, Cher.
Janet. Cher.
These women have done a lot. And I feel like in the media and the industry and society, it's all a consensus that we all kind of know that the only taboo that technically hasn't been fully broken is gender. Because even though we had people like Grace Jones was actually doing it for the girls. Grace was fully doing
pushing
the damn thing.
Looking so fierce.
Looking so fierce and sticking to her own damn visual universe.
Exactly. You know? Like, yeah.
She got it. She understood.
I don't know if she, I guess she's not. Because she gave trans for a while, androgynous.
From reading her book, because I have her autobiography. I think she is non-binary technically.
Oh, okay.
In her book, she always said that she always felt a masculine energy in her. She always had both. Oh, because she has a twin also. She has a twin brother. Yeah, she has a twin brother. So she always talked about how she felt both masculine and feminine energy in her from the very beginning till this day. And that's what makes her who she is. She still sees herself as a woman, but she would never say that she is not somewhat of a man also. And I feel like that's another way of seeing non-binary, because there's the aspect of being non-binary that you just don't see yourself as a man, or you don't see yourself as a girl. which is fully valid. Also, you don't have to fit in anything. You don't have to fit in something that society is telling you.
You don't.
You really don't. Let me say it one last time. You really do not have to fit into anything that society is trying to sell you.
Preach.
If you don't fit in, don't buy it.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
It's, yeah, I feel like as trans people, it's like already that's like we're already breaking boundaries by doing that. So it's like why stay inside of other boundaries,
you know,
within societal ideas of who we need to be
and the way to live our lives,
how we need to act, how we need to look, like, you know. And
fully. And that's why me and Tarek, and to go back on, because I kind of got sidetracked, I kind of got this confused, but to go back on what I was saying with Tarek, and I feel like you would agree 100%, like, gender is the only thing that hasn't been broken yet, therefore the next big it girl like Sophia, like Marilyn, like, would need to be a queer queer trans non-binary person,
because
my thing is, I love these girls that they, you know, for example, I love the new girls like Bella Hadid, for example. I love Bella. She's kinda, she's different, she's bringing something new. But my thing is, the girl is not groundbreaking in the sense that I can find you. I was gonna say I can find you 10 Bella Hadid. I can find you one Carla Bruni. She's sitting in she's sitting in France right now.
Exactly.
This ain't nothing new. And I'm like, when it comes to trans identity and
love Bella, but love her, but so true.
You know, it ain't nothing new. Yeah. Why not? What are we waiting to have our trans sex symbol, our trans non-binary sex symbol? How come we haven't had a sex symbol non-binary on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine yet?
You're right. You know? Why don't we have that? Yet? And when I say we need
for the kids to understand that there is more to life than looking like Angelina Jolie or Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
There is more to life than looking like Brad Smith or Beyonce. It's
looking like cis people and just like, I don't know, even like also with expression, like it's like just like there's so much you can do that is still to be explored with expression, you know, in being trans and or just in not subscribing to this kind of like very cis idea of how to look. And what I was gonna say, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like, and I've been saying this for a while, I feel like a lot of the certain models and like Instagram baddies and celebrities like kind of are veering towards like this kind of very surgeried T-girl look that is like very popular in the trans community.
The hyper femme, femme queen.
Hyper femme, femme queen. Like
the bimbo, the dolls.
Surged up. Exactly. Doll so bimbo. Like, so I'm like, that's interesting. Interesting to me that like the cis girls are trying to like that's their idea of being beautiful and sexy is like it's like basically making them look like
Miss Mimi, we have a caller. You ready to take in your first caller?
Yes. Oh my god.
Hey, what's up? We'll put you on the line. Give me one sec, babes. Yes, ask your question. What's up?
Hi. So I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the show today. Y'all are killing it.
Thank you, Mimi.
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Mimi.
Hey.
So my question is, you guys brought up, you guys are obviously talking about visibility and breaking out of the binary and how beauty also is wrapped up in that. How do you define beauty if you're looking at it from the outside, non-binarical perspective, I guess?
That's a good question.
What does beauty mean to you in terms of visibility?
Do you want to go first, Mimi?
Yeah. Wow. I love that question. Right? Yeah, I think like for me, I mean, within, you know, feeling like an alien or like a creature, like, I kind of like, I feel like to me in that non-binary sense. I'm like, I see, like, you just have to make it whatever you want it to be, and like, whatever piques your interest from anywhere, I guess, is up for grabs, really. Mm-hmm. It's, I feel like with non-binary, it's, it becomes like, you know, anything goes. Yeah. And that's the the beauty of it, you know?
Definitely. And I see that. I agree on, especially on the last anything goes. I would say for me personally, what I see as beauty, I guess, and I might sound funny, but yeah, actually, no, it's the damn truth. If I like it, that's what I call beautiful. Mm-hmm. When it comes to me, honey, if I like what I'm seeing on my face, it's beauty. Because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm not leaving my house and I'm like, oh, damn, she look good, you know, in the mirror, then I'm not beauty. It's not beauty. But if I'm leaving the house and I'm giving myself one last check in the bathroom and I'm like, damn, this bitch is looking good. Okay, we're going.
Yeah.
That's beauty. So as long as you're feeling good, I feel like that's what true beauty is. If you, if it makes you feel cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you for calling. Yes, baby.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, Miss Mimi, I'm seeing 6:45, which reminds me, I think it's time to let the people know about what's going on this weekend.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Tell me.
Oh my God. Well, you know, it's just a little Easter celebration. Mm. No.
Yes. As a Catholic, I'm very intrigued. Yes.
Yes. It's just a little quiet Easter celebration.
A gathering.
No. It's so, yes, I am going to be a part of this. Well, I'm also organizing this witch house rave called Silent Night. Yes, with DJ Mayun and DJ Khan, Edie and Liz, shout out to them.
Yes.
And we're going to have Aya Avalon on the visuals. Mm-hmm. Shout out to her. And yeah, and it's going to be April 9th. Okay. So this Saturday. Yes. Or,
yeah. I think so. It is Saturday. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Keep on going. I'll check.
Yeah. Yeah. Saturday. And at Bar NDQ, Bar Notre Dame de Keys, at 32 Beaubien Street West.
And when it comes to tickets, or is it online? Do they go at the door?
Yes. So there is, there's an Eventbrite for pre-sale tickets. So the link is in my Instagram profile. So if you go to my bio, you'll see that.
Okay.
But also there'll be tickets at the door. So everyone can, yeah, they can also get tickets at the door.
Are you performing? Are you mixing? What's going on?
Yes. So I am doing a DJ set.
Nice. Okay.
Yes. And I'm also going to do a little special performance at the beginning of my DJ set. Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that? Are you keeping it as a surprise?
Well,
I'm like, let me get the information.
I'm really excited about it. It's, what I said earlier about Easter.
Yeah.
Kind of gives a hint a little bit. Oh. Yeah.
Now, if y'all know the story, if you've heard about Jesus' story, the tea in the street is that he has risen.
Yes.
On Easter Day.
Yes, on Easter Day. It'll be a resurrection of sorts. Let's just say that.
We love resurrection. Love to see it.
Yes, yes. It'll be a silent night.
Hey, that's a Christmas song.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's amazing. Okay, that's cute. And it's going to be this Saturday 9th. Okay, that's cunt. At NDQ.
Yes, yeah. From 9 to 3 a.m. Yeah.
Okay, that's cunt. I'm excited because I'll be there, first of all.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be there because I also want to mention, because it's, at first I thought it was going to be the same day as the performance I have, like I told you.
Oh, yes.
For those who don't know, there's not going to be any tickets for that, but I just want to put it out also because you guys can go online on the website. I'll put everything on my Instagram over the days. But I will be performing at a medical conference, honey. Yes, yes. You have heard right. I will be amongst the doctors.
She's an academic.
Some days. She's allegedly.
The academic.
The academic. No DJ.
DJ.
But basically, yes, yeah, so I'll be posting. Oh, we have another caller. I love that today. Hello. Do you want to be on the line? Yes. I'll put you on the line. Give me one sec. What's going on?
Hi, girl.
Hey, babe.
This is Tarek.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Hi.
Hey, babes. What's up?
So, yeah. So, I wanted to ask, as two ladies that are extremely visible and choose to be on a day-to-day basis, what advice would y'all give to somebody that's maybe a little too anxious to be visible or too afraid to express who they really want to be on the inside and want to, but just are too scared to, I guess?
I would say, because I can definitely relate to that. Because like I said earlier, in terms of where you live, right, the neighborhoods and everything, I would say when it comes to putting yourself out there and being visible, you don't have to go all out, all in, all the way to every day of the week from the beginning. You can start slow. And also being visible doesn't mean you have to put yourself at risk.
Yeah.
You know, you can be visible and safe. You can always be visible. And if you know you're about to take the bus for a long time, it's okay to have a little jacket in your bag, you know, if you want to cover what you're wearing. Because I want people to understand that, yes, being visible means standing in your truth, but it does not mean putting yourself at risk.
Yeah, we don't want to promote,
you know,
people putting themselves at risk.
For the girls, y'all know where you live.
To be safe and just, you know, gauge on your own, you know, what's safe for you.
What's safe and what makes you feel comfortable.
And what makes you, yeah, I was going to say to this point, like, what makes you feel comfortable is like, I think that's the most important at the end of the day. And I mean, you know, sometimes if you're feeling comfortable pushing your comfort zone in what you're wearing, then, you know, that's one thing. But I think like, you know, like going at it slow is helpful when you're like, you know, afraid to start and
pacing it out,
like finding the line between safety and being visible, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because the thing about also being visible and safety, because there's one thing, there's a way of dressing and being yourself when you just go out during the day, when you go out and about, and there's a way you want to go to the club at now. So a lot of things for a lot of queer people, especially non-binary people, like more gender fuck kind of people, we tended to, when we were younger, like at the very beginnings, we used to go all out for no reason.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
You can relate to that also, Mr. B.
Yeah.
We used to be out in these streets. I personally was out and about with shorts that were so short, I couldn't even call them shorts. These were borderline underwear, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can
Club looks at 11 in the morning
for no damn reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Just pumping it up on the street
just to go to the gas station,
just to go to the gas station
in some platforms and some booty shorts,
because you get so excited from being able to just be yourself.
But
I would definitely say everything with reason. There's a place for anything. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, but there's consequences.
Don't
make caution to the wind, huh?
Definitely.
Yeah. What are you saying, Amy?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean, when I was in high school, I feel like I was like doing that in a sense. Like I was like very, very, very slowly like would put on a scarf or something.
Yes,
would start growing out my
long
hair.
Long t-shirt with the tiny shorts.
Long t-shirt with a tiny short. Long t-shirt with skinny jeans. Like, you know, like just like slowly pushing
a more fitted jacket.
The boundaries. You know, like
definitely.
Because
that's the best way to get to know yourself.
I think.
Also.
Yeah, I think it's a really good way to start in terms of like, you know, you're starting, like dipping your toes in the water type of thing. Like,
and for the ones,
because
sometimes I feel like people are just also lacking directions because they don't know where to go and stuff. I always say, just like we were talking earlier, when it comes to stuff that you look at for aesthetics and visual, what brings you happiness? What brings a smile on your face? And if the Pussycat Dolls bring a smile on your face, then you better look at their videos and start learning something. You know? You better get your inspiration somewhere. Just get it going for yourself.
Applying what you like and enjoy to yourself.
from anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really true. Good
question also, Tariq. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for answering.
Of course.
Thank you for the question.
It's okay, baby Tariq. We're sorry. We had the way they cut you, child.
Oh.
It's okay. You'll call us next week. But anyways, Mimi, I think we're going to end the show on one last song of yours.
Oh, yeah. From the
same Tranamalia. Do you want to announce it?
Sure. This one is Blood Rave off of my EP Tranamalia Liberation. Popping champagne in the Blood Rave. Get into it, honey. Yes.
Can you fucking believe it? The last part is also the last part is just amazing. Always, never fails to get me.
Popping champagne in the Blood Rave.
The demon. But listen, I almost forgot. Yesterday was the birthday of two very dear people in my heart. You know, it's Aries season. Yes. I like Aries season. Aries season is like a nice segue to Taurus season. I believe it's.
Yeah. It kickstarts spring.
Exactly, in a nice way. But shout out to my baby Ahmad and my love Kerianne. It was their birthday yesterday, April 3rd. Yeah. And this had nothing to do with them. But that one song I really did wanted to play before we end the show, honey.
Mm.
It's for my girl, Miss Aaliyah. She was no Aries, a queen nevertheless. Read between the lines.
Yes. Read between the lines.
Tum.
Oh.
All right, ciao, baby. Bye. Mimi, say bye to the people.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for having me.
I'll see you next week for Ask Miss Chris. All right.
Bye. Late afternoon.
your actual location, just watching you pacing. A little conversation, leave no debation. He left the door swinging. You better open your mind.
Ici Lou Voyant, vous écoutez Lesbosson avec Nathalie Di Palma sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonsoir. Notre invitée Marie-Hélène Brousseau est DJ MHB depuis 2001. Elle s'est tournée vers la création musicale en 2015. Elle a composé des bandes sonores et des ambiances pour des ateliers de danse contemporaine et de création de cirque. Marie-Hélène Brousseau nous a rendu visite il y a quelques années alors qu'elle cofondait avec la chanteuse Sienna Dallen le duo électro-expérimental Klardrum, qui signifie « rêve lucide » en norvégien. Le tandem a présenté des performances dans des soirées et festivals à Montréal, Toronto, Calgary, Vancouver ainsi qu'au Mexique. Ce soir, elle vient nous parler de son premier projet musical solo, Lou Voyons, un nom qui signifie les détours qu'on prend pour arriver quelque part. Bonsoir, Marie-Hélène Brousseau.
Salut, Nathalie. Merci de me recevoir.
C'est vraiment un plaisir de te retrouver aujourd'hui. J'aimerais que tu nous parles de ton parcours musical. Vers quel âge as-tu découvert ton élan pour la musique?
Ça remonte assez loin. Bon, ça fait plus de 20 ans que je suis DJ. Mais bon, j'aimais la musique. J'étais proche de la musique. Je